Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is Getting Started with WebSphere MQ Message Bindings in WebSphere Process Server and WebSphere Enterprise Service Bus. Today's presenters are Brian Hobson, Zufendi Chintakena, and L. Wang. The presenters have close to 20 years of IBM support experience and currently support WebSphere Enterprise Service Bus and the MQ and JMS bindings. At this point in time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Brian.
Thank you, Joseph. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Brian Hobson. I'm joined with Shravanti and Al Wang. Shravanti Chintakena? You'll have to tell me about that one, Shravanti. Anyway, I wanted to give you a little bit of information about myself. I've been with IBM for about 12 years now in support most of those years. I've been in the AIM team and with WebSphere for about 3 years supporting WSBI, Enterprise Service Bus. We also have been recently supporting the MQ bindings and the JMS messaging bindings. Shravanti, you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hi, everyone. This is Shravanti Chintakuntla. I've been with IBM for 6 years now. Again, I started as a support engineer. I was working with WebSphere adapters, then JCA adapters, and now I've been supporting WSBI and messaging bindings. We're going to talk about messaging bindings today. Al, you want to talk about you?
Hi, everyone. My name is Al Wen, and I started in IBM 2 years ago from WebSphere Integration Developer Team, support team, and now I'm with the WebSphere Enterprise Service Bus team. Okay, thank you. Brian?
Yes, next slide, please. The agenda. Yes, I wanted to take a minute to speak about what caused us to create this presentation. The IBM Info Center, the Information Center, contains a lot of really good information, but sometimes it is somewhat lacking in step-by-step instructions. And so we saw a need for a little bit more step-by-step instructions in how to actually accomplish things. And sometimes when you're trying to accomplish something, the most difficult thing is to actually get started. So we thought it would be wise to create a quick start guide in how to create a message binding. As we were creating the quick start guide, it was suggested that we might have some benefit in presenting this as a WSTE, and that's why we're here. Not only is this a presentation to you, but if you have any feedback in where this might need some more or where it does good, that would be very welcome. Thank you. Next slide, please. In creating this, it's actually very simple once you get into it. You need WebSphere MQ, which is relatively easy to install. You need WebSphere Integration Developer, WID, in a test environment. And if you want to test it and make sure that it's working properly, you can use rfhutil. And there's a link there that shows you where to download it. We use version 7 in this presentation. Next slide. Fairly self-explanatory. First, we set up MQ. Next slide, please. Okay, the first thing you need in anything with MQ is a queue manager. In this screen, you can see the MQ Explorer. Basically, all you need to do is right-click on queue managers, choose new, and take all the defaults unless you have something specific that needs more information. It will guide you through. As you see, this is a queue manager created. Next slide. Pretty much the same as with the queue manager, right-click on queues, create new. You have to do it twice, one for an inbound, one for an outbound. Here we've created, as you may be able to see, Q1 and Q2, and we basically took all the defaults. Next slide. And third, we have to create a channel. WPS and WSBI use the channel to communicate with MQ. And again, right-click, choose new, take all the defaults, unless you have something, again, specific to your environment that violates one of the defaults. Next slide. That's pretty much all you need to do to set up MQ. Now let's go to setting up WSBI. Next slide. Okay, this is the beginning screen in the Integration Developer. And all you need to do is right-click on the left-hand lower panel there under Projects, choose New, and then choose Module. Next slide. Give it a name. In a real-world environment, I'm sure you'll have a very practical name to give it. Otherwise, you can just call it Test. And when you're done with that, finish. Next slide. When you have done that, you will see the tree on the lower left there, and you can see interfaces on it. Right-click on Interfaces, and then choose New Interface. Next slide. As with most things in WID, you have to give it a name. Choose whatever name you want or need for your environment, and click Finish. Next slide. After you have clicked Finish, it will draw all the information you see over on the upper right-hand panel here. You can see circled in red the Add Request Response Operation button. Click that. Next slide. And the information below is created. There's nothing else you need to do here. Do a Control S to save and then close the tab. Next slide. Okay, now we have a beginning assembly diagram. We want to create an import, so click on Import and then click over in the empty canvas. Next slide. And this is your import. Looks great, doesn't it? Okay, next slide. Now we need to add an interface to the import. You'll see the little Add Interface button hovering above the import. Click on it. Next slide. And here is the window for adding an interface. Now, you'll see the interface that was created. You just click in there, highlight it, and down below, click OK. Next slide. And there we have on our canvas an interface on the import. Next slide. Now that we have the import, you can right-click on it, and you'll get the tree you see here. We're going to click on Generate a Binding, a Messaging Binding, and finally an MQ Binding in this case. Next slide. Now here we need the information for when we created the queue managers and queues previously in MQ. There in the middle of this panel, we'll have to type in the queue manager name, the request and response queue, and one thing that's not mentioned in this slide, you'll also have to give it a host name. Here is localhost. In most circumstances, you'll be able to use localhost for MQ on this machine. And click OK. Next slide. That's really all there is to creating an MQ import binding. So let's see what happens if we give it a test and make sure it works. Next slide. Okay, start up your server, and we're going to take a pause for 10 minutes while our server starts up. Just kidding, of course. Once you've got the server started, you can right-click on it and add a project to the server. Next slide. Find your new module, click it over to the right for configured projects, and click Finish. Next slide. Now here, after the server has done publishing the project that you just added, you'll look, see where it's circled in red, and it will say synchronized. It's best to leave everything alone until you see that. Next slide. Okay, we've got our project on our server. Now right-click on our import and choose Test Component. Next slide. For anyone who's following along, for your information, we're now on slide 27. Okay, we're doing a test now. So let's enter a value in the value field. It really doesn't matter what it is. Hello MQ might work. And then over there on the left, you'll see circled in red a little green play button. click play to start the testing. Next slide. Okay, our message is being sent to MQ, we hope. Next slide. Now, this is the RFH util. In installing the application is really not all that complex. Once you got it fired up, we use it to read the messages off the queues and, if necessary, write other messages onto the queues for manipulating MQ. As it says here, very often if you're doing this as a test like we're doing here, it will find your queue manager and your queues. And you may need to identify which of your queues is the send queue. And this refers back to slide 21. Next slide. Slide 30 now. Okay, we're going to read off the queue. So click the read queue button, which you see circled in red there, and it will pull the message from the binding into MQ. Next slide, please. And there's the data. You look at your data tab, and you can see there, circled there, it says, hello, MQ, or whatever data you happen to have typed into your test environment. Next slide, please. And here I showed how you can change up in the upper right your data format. Most of us are most familiar with seeing data in XML format, and you may need to check your XML just to make sure everything is proper, and you can do it there. And, of course, you can see inside input 1, hello, MQ. Next slide, please. Now, you may need to generate a correlation ID on the response message. If so, you can see upper circled is the MQMD tab. Click that, and then click the copy message ID to the correlation ID button, lower right. If you look in the middle of the slide here, I don't have anything circled, but you can see the data in the message ID field here. Move on to the next slide, please. And then it's copied down to the correlation ID field there after you click that button. Okay. Next slide, please. Now we want to write the message back to the receive queue for the binding. So make sure we got our queue name set properly. And click Write Queue. Next slide. And if all went well, which of course we know it always does, WID will receive the response message and your test is complete. Next slide, please. I didn't think that it was going to take an hour and a half as Joseph warned it might. As we're trying to show you here, and as I mentioned earlier, sometimes getting started can be difficult and confusing, but once you have a key in how to get things started, this really is, at the base at least, fairly simple, and there's not a whole lot of complexity involved. Now, when you get into real-world environments, complexities abound, but this is a very good start, we hope. And I'd like to hand it off to Joseph now.
Thank you, Brian, for a great presentation. At this point in time, Jackie, we would like to open the lines for questions.
Our first question comes from Suresh. Your line is open.
Thanks for the presentation. So I'm looking at the slide 21 of the 40 slides. So what happens if the queue manager is not local to the process server?
Hi, Suresh. This is Shavanti here. I'll take up that call. So if the queue manager is remote to the process server, you can always give it the host name where it is located, and you can include the channel name and the port number there, which will connect to that queue manager.
But how can we achieve a high availability if it's like, you know, pointing to only one particular host?
If you're doing high availability, do you have a virtual IP address for your cluster?
No, we do not. We kind of have like two queue managers, and we want the load to be spread across. So it's both like high availability and load balancing.
Suresh, you can give me your email address, or you can send us an email. All three of our emails are on the starting slide.
Okay. Yeah, I can send you an email.
Yeah. That should be okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Suresh.
Thanks.
Our next question comes from Tara Sugayevich. Your line is open.
Thanks for the presentation. My questions actually have more than one question. One of the questions is, when I'm specifying bindings for the import, what is the difference between MQ and QGMS and GMS bindings, especially when dealing with MQ as the backend? Is there any benefits of using one over another?
Definitely, Tar. So we have four kinds of messaging bindings. So one is MQ. It directly connects to MQ, and then it uses MQ APIs when it is connecting and processing the messages. The other one is MQ-JMS. So over there, it is connecting to MQ, but it is using the JMS APIs. The third one is the JMS bindings, which is actually for WPS or WSB. The underlying JMS layer is the SI bus. So the messages will be sitting on the SI bus, and whoever is listening in will be listening into those queues, those JMS queues. So that is purely JMS messages. So it all depends on what is your listener who is listening for those messages. The last one is the generic JMS, wherein customers usually try to connect to the third-party JMS providers. For example, I can think of as WebLogic or Sonic.
Okay. Is there any advantage of using MQ over MQ JMS, or opposite? Like if you compare MQ and MQ JMS, any benefits if you use one over another?
It's again your requirement, I would say. Like if the listener on the other end is expecting a JMS message, the MQ JMS will have the RFH2 header. So the listener can pick up that message and process it. So if they're expecting pure MQ message, then again, you can choose MQ. So it's all the need that you particularly have.
Okay. Does binding impact the header propagation? For example, if I set the header in my application, which runs in WPS, will it depend which binding I choose in order to pass this header to the...
Yes. In the properties, we did not show it here, but if you click the import and go to the properties, there is propagation tab. Over there, you can select propagate protocol header. That will send the header along with the message to the MQ or MQ-JMS.
Okay, and my last question. Could you please tell a little bit about transaction propagation to the MQ import? I mean, is it done automatically? Do you need to configure anything to make sure that my operation to send message will be part of the transaction or will be outside of the transaction? Any specifics about that?
It's, again, your choice, I would say, right? I mean, you can do a global transaction where it will go and then do a commit, or you can do a local transaction. But in here, I would like to mention about something. Like, if you want to do any manipulations to your message before it hits import, you can do that in the calling component. Transaction-wise, there is not much difference. It's as good as any other bindings, like if you use WebSphere or adapters or anything.
Well, the reason why I'm asking, because recently we tried to implement a solution that has the MQ import as one of the partners for the ACA component. And the operations that go into multiple parties should be done as a single transaction. What we found, it really depends how the MQ import partner will be invoked. Is it the asynchronous invocation or regular invocation? And only depends on that, the transaction will be propagated or not. Are you aware about any differences depending on the invocation style, the transaction propagation?
There are a couple of them, but right on top of my head, I don't. But if you send me an email, I can send you some information around that.
Okay, I'll follow up via email. Thank you.
Yeah, I know that if it is a sync operation, but when it hits the MQ import, it will do a sync over async. So I got to look up, and then I'll send you information on that.
You can send me an email. My email address is on the first chat.
Okay, I'll send the email this question. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
We do have another question from Suresh. Your line is open.
One more question. So when this module gets deployed, so will the listener port get created by itself? I mean, is that like an automated thing on the process?
Good question. So before 7.0, in 6.2 and 6.1, we used to use listener ports. The customers had to create the listener port and everything. But 7.0 onwards, we are using activation spec. So if a listener port is needed, it will be created by the bindings itself automatically.
Okay. So is there a way in the way where you can mention, you know, like in the listener ports, like there are a couple of parameters, right, like the max retry and max sessions. When the listener port gets created automatically, so will it take the defaults?
It is not configurable. Again, it is created automatically in 7.0, so there will not be any options for you to change.
So there will not be an option for me to even to disable creation of the listener ports for every deployment?
No. These are created automatically.
Okay.
This is for internal use only, the listener ports, because it basically goes by the activation specs.
But, I mean, if I'm listening on to an MQQ, which is remote, so I require a listener port, right? Or can I do that using the activation spec?
Activation spec. You can always do that with an activation spec. Actually, I wanted to do an activation spec, but I know the time won't be sufficient, so we did not do it. For the remote connection, you can always use JNDIs to do activation spec and then JNDI names for the queues and queue managers, connection factors.
Okay. Okay. Thanks, Ravanti.
Thank you, Suresh.
We have one more question from Harik Vinandra. Your line is open.
I just had a question with respect to the MQ binding. You know, is it possible that, I mean, we generate a we get a confirmation once the message is sent to the queue? I mean, basically, we just wanted to know if the handle gets returned back after the message is sent to the queue using MQ binding.
Yes, Raghavendra. Actually, this presentation, we did do a request response. So once the request is sent, you can always send back a response.
Okay, because when we tried it in with 6.2, using the MQ binding, we were able to send the request to the queue, but the control was not getting back to the response in the mediation, actually.
It again depends on the style of the invocation you are doing. If you are doing a sync 1, the import will be waiting for a response. If the response doesn't come out, it should time out.
Okay. We were actually trying to generate a response back to the consumer. I mean,
in this case, it's not a live scenario, right? I mean, it all depends on how your setup is set. We were just trying to show you this is one way of getting a response, but this is not the actual way of getting a response. This is just to show it to everyone that you can do a test like this. But in an actual scenario, the response should be coming back automatically to the import and thereby passing on to the service invoke into the mediation.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Suresh. Thank you, Raghavendra. Sorry. While we are waiting for any questions, I just wanted to touch on one more thing. Because we are in support, we see a lot of these questions, and then we get a lot of PMRs on this area. One area particularly where we see a lot of confusion and a lot of issues there is, how do I either disable the header or how do I not send the header part to the MQ? How can I make changes in the MQMD or MQRFH to headers and all that? So usually what a customer needs to do to not send the header or do any kind of manipulations to the header is, before it comes into the import itself, they have to make changes in the mediation or the calling component, whatever it may be. It may be a Beeple or a Java component or whatever it is. But in a mediation, we always suggest a customer to do it in a XSLT map. So in the transformation map, they can go ahead and map it to a null or whatever they want to do. There in the map, you can always see the SMO header, and in the header, there are specific areas like MQMD, RFH2 kind of headers. We can always click those and make them into null before it comes into the import. So when we make changes to the SMO header, it goes into import and thereby goes into MQ in whichever way customer prefers.
We have no further questions.
Thank you, Jackie. I just have a question coming in here through the group chat. And the question is, do you recommend direct connection to MQQ by providing host, port, and channel, or by using JNDI names for queue manager and queue?
For me, I would use JNDI names because it's much easier and you can always use reuse those JNDI names. But it all depends on the business needs again. If it is remote, I would go for JNDI again. But there should not be any problems using direct connections with MQ2. Either one is preferable, but if it was me, I would use JNDI.
Thank you, Shifanti. And since we do not have any more questions at this point in time, we will conclude the presentation.